It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Our guest today is Ross Halleck from Halleck Vineyard. Good to see you, Ross.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. It's great to have you. Jennifer's not coming in?
No, but she's listening.
Hi, Jennifer. Okay, let's begin with the history and all the stuff about Halleck Vineyard and your, you and Jennifer's journey into the wine world, because you guys do a great job.
Well, thank you.
Give us the history.
Well, we planted the vineyard in, I think, 1992, 1993. Dan and I were playing bridge at the time. And we were the first vineyard, actually, in West Sebastopol. There's a little book on our coffee table that describes us as the pioneers of our area, but I felt too young at that point to be a pioneer. I don't feel so young anymore. But anyway, we really hadn't a clue what we were doing. We ordered the rootstock out of the Yellow Pages. And, planted this sort of, this backyard vineyard. I would call it a folly. There are three different clones, multiple rootstocks, because we couldn't get them all at the same time, and just kept our fingers crossed. And lo and behold, our very first vintage, with our name on it, we won number one Pinot Noir in the United States.
Wow. Yeah, I remember that now. What year was the first vintage?
The first vintage was actually under a different label. It was with our mentor and friend, Greg LaFollette. It was called Tandem Winery.
Yeah.
And so he made the very first Halleck Vineyard, and that was in 2001. And then Halleck Vineyard was launched as a brand the year after that with Greg as our mentor and winemaker, along with Rick Davis, who's currently our winemaker even today.
Yeah, I met Rick. He knows what he's doing, that's for sure.
He's a savant, yes.
That's cool. And you got three sons. And are they interested in being involved? Are they involved right now with
They are Alec? All launched, and they are into their own careers. Our middle son worked with us for 3 years, and he was great, and we loved working with him. But it wasn't his passion, and, when you start working with your family at 19 years old, you kind of got to spread your wings. And so he's in Los Angeles now and pursuing his own career.
So you've got your oldest son and your youngest son are both interested in filmmaking, animation, this and that, cinematography. So they're both following that?
Yeah. In fact, Quinn, my youngest, just had a showcase here in Sebastopol this past weekend at Sebastopol Center for the Arts.
Wow.
And they're starting a young artist series, and he was honored to be the first artist that was premiered. And he showed three films. We had almost 70 people there. And it was quite a great homecoming for him. It was a great weekend.
Very cool. Ross Halleck is here, HallackVineyard.com. And I'll turn it over to Dan to talk about Halleck. And
well, it starts.
I know you're
really
a big fan, and you guys are real good friends. So.
Well, we've been friends for several years. The bridge started the whole thing, I guess. It was more than anything else. We got together for bridge, and it was very weird. I'm a terrible bridge player. Just awful, but that's the way that is.
But as far as their styles and...
Well, I saw the house. I said, Ross, this has got to be the best place in the whole world for growing Pinot Noir. And the property was not very large. What do you have, about an acre there or something like that?
1 acre, yes.
Yeah. So it's it's pretty special. And but what was really different was the fact that at that time, Sebastopol Hills were not recognized for their Pinot Noir. And when Ross got in, he was actually one of the pioneers of this area. It's really a residential neighborhood. It's not you're not going to find any 15 contiguous acres of land to put Pinot Noir in. But this has really turned out to be a winning proposition. The Gewurztraminer he makes is world class. In fact, everything they make is world. I love the Sauvignon Blanc. The Pinot Noir is fabulous. Everything that Ross makes is turned into gold. And it's great that he's had so many successes besides the wine. Your contact with Josh and all. I mean, everything you can talk about rings true. It's just wonderful. It's really a great, great project.
Yeah, what is this Josh Groban thing?
Well, the Josh Groban thing. Well, Josh Groban isn't a thing. He's a young man, a really genteel and delightful human being. And I had the good fortune of him trying a bottle of our wine when he was performing on Broadway in a play called Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, and he stumbled upon a bottle of my wine and became very excited. He had always enjoyed wine. He's got an amazing palate. And he called me up and he said, you know, Mr. Halleck, I just tasted one of your wines and I would love to make wine together. Would you be interested? And I said,
he making wine before?
No,
that
no. He was like, the man is a really busy guy. I mean, he's got at least 10 things going at any given time, including concert tours and this Broadway performance was going at that particular time. He had a book in process. He was recording. And so it was, he's just an impassioned, creative soul. And on our side, we are a small family winery, and the thought of making a celebrity wine was really not in our roadmap. We said, and I kind of pushed back, and I said, we're a very small family winery, and making a Josh Groban wine is probably not in our roadmap. And he said, I have no interest in making a Josh Groban wine. In fact, you don't even have to put my name on it. I've been reading about you. And I know that you do a lot for charity, and I have a charity, and I would like to make wine to benefit my charity. I said, well, that's interesting.
Sounds like a win-win.
Yeah. I said, that's interesting. I said, what's the name of your charity? And he said, it's called the Find Your Light Foundation. I said, Find Your Light? Well, that's interesting. I said, what does the Find Your Light Foundation do? And he said, well, we fund arts education programs in the public schools in the United States. And I said, well, I am in. I have 3 sons. They are all artists. They all went to public schools. They were all graduates of Annaly High School. And if it hadn't been for those programs, I don't know where they would be. They're all thriving. I am totally in. And so we have been on this project now for about 2.5 years. Hmm. I've been on stage with him 3 or maybe 4 times. And so far we've raised about $250,000 for arts education.
Very nice. He's a very talented and popular musician, performer. So that's cool how that happened.
Yeah, it was I call it the Vine intervention.
Now, that's good. That I like. Has Josh ever played at the winery? No.
He's played at Green Music Center.
Yeah.
And, 2 years in a row now, I get to participate. He does a little gala at the Ritz-Carlton in Half Moon Bay. So it's just about 200 people. And we get to be there and participate and auction off our wine and auction off events that we create with our wine and serve our wine. So it's that's about the smallest venue I know that he has performed in.
Does he live in L.A., I would assume?
He lives in L.A. and New York. When he lives anywhere. I mean, he lives on the road.
On the road, yeah.
Yeah.
He's sold over 25 million records worldwide. That's even more than Mike has sold. It's hard to believe. Oh, look, it's another debate. Yeah. I don't care. Okay, and obviously you've brought a rosé. Is this a rosé of Pinot, I would assume?
No, it's a rosé of white Zinfandel, believe it or not.
You hate white Zinfandel.
Well, when it's made right, this is going to be dry.
Well, I mean, it's a rosé, so right? Yeah. Or is it just a...
Well, it's a rosé that's not a rosé.
It doesn't say rosé.
It says white Zinfandel.
Really?
It says dry white Zinfandel. And,
well, Ross, talk about white Zinfandel, because that was a thing for a while, and then...
Well, we call this not your mother's.
Okay.
And, in fact, that will be on the bottle next year. It is, typically a rosé is made in a Seigneur fashion, which is a technique used in taking a red wine that is intended to be a little bit more oomphier and is not showing as well. And so they bleed off. So Seigneur in French means to bleed. They bleed off some of the juice and so that there's more skin contact with the remaining juice. And then they have ostensibly a waste product, which then they add white wine to, and they call it a rosé.
And then typically those things have got 15% alcohol or 14%. This is a lower alcohol product, and therefore it's going to be more delicate in the mouth. So that's the reason that it exists the way it does. This is really a food wine, I would imagine. I haven't tasted this, but I'm pretty sure. With 13% alcohol.
We'll taste it.
Well, why don't we open it? He's going
to. Yeah, I'm just going to open it.
Here we go.
It's California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Today our guest, Ross Halleck from Halleck Vineyard.
Yeah, this was another little flight of fancy. I mean, everybody told me I was crazy to make this wine. They all also told me I was crazy to make Gewürztraminer. About 80% of our wine is sold to our wine club and 20% to the finest restaurants in New York, San Francisco, and Chicago. Our wine club was saying, Ross, you've got to make rosé. It's the new black. I tasted the rosés available locally, and I was just not very happy with them. I knew that if I didn't make them, I couldn't. If I couldn't sell them, I'd have to drink them. So I thought it was time to redefine a category.
This is like raspberry juice with no sugar.
Really,
it's just exactly.
We'll
like
talk about White Zin and what happened to it.
White Zin started out. It's a long, involved story, which I won't bore you with. But it started out as a kind of a bizarre project. Started out with Pinot Noir being made as a dry pink wine. Camus was one of the first in the Napa Valley. They called theirs Eye of the Partridge, because the partridge's eye is sort of copper-colored. And so they called theirs Eye of the Partridge. And then there was one that was called Eye of the Swan that was made by Sebastiani. And it was a fanciful wine, but it got to be interesting as a dry wine under the name of Sutter Home. And Sutter Home made a wonderful, wonderful dry White Zinfandel until 1983, when they got a stuck fermentation. The wine came out sweet, and I predicted it wouldn't sell. And, of course, I was entirely wrong. And the stuff took off like a rocket. And so Sutter Home is still making a really, really tasty and very light and delicate White Zinfandel. And it's still out there, and it's really a good wine. This is a much, much finer product. This is a serious, serious rosé.
Love the color.
It's dry. Well, I mean, from the dark color, you would imagine it's going to be heavy. But the thing is that the alcohol is so light, and Rick did such a beautiful job of keeping the sugar out of this wine. This is basically dry white wine with color.
And how many cases of this are you making?
I think about 130 cases.
Yeah, that's it. Huh?
Well, we thought, you know, we knew we could send it to our wine club, and if they gave us the thumbs down, well, we would say, I'm sorry, and
then
and
Ross
move on.
Would drink it all.
Yes, exactly. I knew that I would drink it. And the fact is that we sold about half of it, about 75 cases in the first 2.5 months.
Wow.
So we're almost out of it now, and we'll be making it again next year.
And
very tasty wine.
You do a Sauvignon Blanc that Dan seems to love.
Well, I love the Sauvignon Blanc. The main reason I like Ross's Sauvignon Blanc is that there's nothing about Sauvignon Blanc that calls into your mind anything other than that grape variety. It's not like anything else. It's unique. And if you try to play with the grape to try to make it more rich and oily, you're going to lose something, and it's going to be that green tea or green pepper component, which is really an important part of that variety. And I'm thrilled with it, and I think Ross has done a brilliant job. I think Rick make this before you started making it?
Did he? No.
I don't see it. This is a unique vision of a winemaker who understands. I call them concept wines. This is a great, great concept wine.
And to our gratitude this year, it won number one Sauvignon Blanc in the United States in the Sunset Magazine International Wine Competition. Jeez. It won Best of Class.
Yeah, the Sauvignon Blanc is really very, very distinctive. You could make an argument that California has moved away from Sauvignon Blanc characteristics to make it more tropical and more, shall we call it, friendly in the aroma and taste, with maybe a trace of sugar, maybe a little bit more alcohol. This is a really classic Sancerre style. This is right up the alley of people from the East Coast who want this characteristic, brisk, sea air, flinty, minerally. It's got all those beautiful notes, and it's totally varietal. It's just absolutely a classic example.
And how much of this are you making? And is this the only Sauvignon Blanc you're making?
Yes, we only make one Sauvignon Blanc. And we make about 300 cases of this, 310, something like that.
And where does the wine come from? Where are the grapes grown?
Well, all of our grapes are from small vineyards in Sebastopol. So, you know, there's a joke in the wine business. How do you make a small fortune in the wine business? You start with a large fortune. And we didn't have that. We had a small, you know, one-acre vineyard behind us, and then we had this immediate accolade, and that gave us license to knock on doors. I call it begging rights. And so we had three little kids at the time, and we had to stay close to home. So all of these are, you know, within about 3 to 5 miles of each other all around Sebastopol.
Ross Halleck is here from Halleck Vineyard, California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. It's HallackVineyard.com.
And that's without an S, Vineyard.
I know, and I was going to ask about that because it's it just – I've never heard anyone, I don't think. Do you know of any
there are a few,
Vineyard instead of Vineyards?
Yeah, there are a few properties. I think Beaulieu in the Napa Valley is a Beaulieu Vineyard, even though they have many, many, many vineyards.
Yeah.
Just a single.
Let's get into this Gewürz because Dan is flipping out about it. Tell me why you're flipping out.
It's a wonderful grape variety. It's a grape variety that actually comes from Alsace, and the interesting. Well, it's also in Germany as well. The interesting thing about this.
And Alsace is sometimes in Germany, and
sometimes depending on what era you're in, it could be both. But this has been a tricky variety to become popular because it's a grape variety that has, if you let it sit on the vine for a little bit too long, the grape skin turns sort of pinkish, and that indicates that there's tannin in the grape skins, and there is plenty of tannin in it. So if you harvest it a slightly bit too late, you're going to get a bitter white wine. And a lot of wineries make it, and they avoid the bitterness. They leave residual sugar to cover up the bitterness, and that's a nice trick, but it's not a classic. The classic is to pick it right. Andrei Cholichev told me, to make good Gewürz Germinier, you have to sleep in the vineyard. And that's because you have to wait until that very moment when it's ready to pick. And obviously, Rick Davis, your winemaker, and yourself, and all the people associated with Halleck Vineyard, they're absolutely committed to making this stuff with no sugar. And so this stuff is just fabulous. And what's really fascinating is there's no bitterness, and I can't understand how he does this. To this day, I can't figure this out.
What year is that, Ross?
This is 18. It's in 2018.
Well, I'm just thrilled to make this wine. And you know, funny enough, I was introduced to this wine, of all places, in Kenya. And
naturally.
Where else do they drink Gewürz Germinier? But no, I lived in Kenya as a young man. And, you know, I come from Rockford, Illinois, which is a very Midwestern town. And when we used to go out for ethnic food in Rockford, Illinois, it was Italian. And so in Kenya was a British colony. And so as was India. And they are separated by a very short distance of the Indian Ocean. And so the merchant class and many of the restaurants were in Kenya were Indian. And when I was introduced to Indian food, I could not believe such a party could happen in your mouth.
How did you wind up in Kenya, of all places?
Well, just let me finish the connections.
Thank you. I would love you to do that.
Yeah, the point is that the Gewürz Germinier was served as a chutney with Indian food. It was served as a condiment. And
wow.
It is an incredible complement to Indian food. And it was only 2 years ago that I learned from two Germans tasting at my house what Gewürz means in German, which means spice. And so this beverage and this cuisine are incredibly complementary because gewurztraminer enhances and elevates the spices of what they call curry, which is coriander, cumin, cayenne, turmeric.
A little ginger, maybe.
Fenugreek. Fenugreek and black mustard seeds.
Yeah.
So that's a classic, and clove. It's a classic Indian curry. And this wine just pops with that. And if you were to come to my house and do a tasting seminar, which we offer, we actually pair it with a dish that we use these spices.
The most impressive thing about this variety is that it has probably more aromatics than any other grape that you can even think of. It's even more aromatic than Riesling. The thing about it is it's very tricky because if it gets overripe, you lose all that delicacy. It's right now the aroma is lime, grapefruit, carnations, and gardenias.
This one?
Yeah.
And a little lychee.
And lychee.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you got a little of that muscatty component in it. Fabulous wine.
Oh, thank you.
It's wonderful.
Thank you.
It's California Wine Country with Dan Berger, Ross Halleck, our guest today from Halleck Vineyard, HallackVineyard.com. Tell everyone where you are, and I know you – it says here something about let's talk about the tasting room, but also it says you can stay overnight.
Well, this is kind of the unusual thing about Halleck Vineyard.
You got to sleep in Ross's car, but you know, no problem.
You were thinking of doing a whole Airstream.
There you go.
We taste out of our home, so it's quite an unusual experience. It's not a hospitality venue. It's not a tasting room, and we don't hire young people who are working on commission to sell our wine. You come to our home. It's in our dining room overlooking the vineyard. And we do a complete tasting seminar. We have 78 wines, and we pair each of them with delectables and that are all organic, local, and even gluten-free.
Sounds like we got to go to Ross's house.
No bridge this time, though. We're not going to do any bridge.
So where's the house located? And I assume that you got to call in and make arrangements. You don't just show up at Ross's house.
You cannot show up. No. We are in West Sebastopol, kind of near Freestone. And the best way to reach us is just to go to our website, HallackVineyard.com, and you can book a reservation from there through Cellar Pass. And you know, people do call me, and I always send them to the website because if I take your reservation over the phone, chances are I won't be there when you get there. I just have that CRS syndrome, and I just hope people make the effort and book online.
Well, it sounds worthwhile for sure. Again, it's Halleck, H-A-L-L-E-C-K, HallackVineyard.com. Very cool. And that's Burnside Road?
That is Burnside Road, yes.
Yeah, I know where that is. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now we have Pinot Noir coming up. Sounds good to me. That's the best. Well, this is where it all began. Mm-hmm.
Pinot.
Ross's very first wine was Pinot. Might have got him hooked.
And how many Pinots are you making these days?
We make 8.
Wow.
One, of course, is the Josh Groban, the Find Your Light wine, which is also available on our website. And if you want to make a contribution to arts education in the public schools, you can either go to Josh's website or our website, and that wine is for sale. But we have a range of Pinots that come from 3 different AVAs. Our own, of course, which is Sonoma Coast, but also our own, which is kind of the anomaly of AVAs in our area, is Russian River Valley. So our vineyard is in both Sonoma Coast and Russian River Valley. We call it Sonoma Coast because it's at elevation, but we make it Sonoma Coast, Russian River Valley, and now we have sort of this outlier that we just started making from Sonoma Mountain. And that was primarily as a result of my partnership with Josh.
Okay, so I don't want to keep hammering the Josh Groban thing, but trying to figure this out, he came to your place and helped you make some wine.
Yes, he did.
And which wine was that, or which wines?
He made he came in. How it works is he came to the winery first, and how we make wine is we take each of our vineyards, and we vinify them separately and put them in barrels separately. And we had all of the barrels lined up. And we said, Josh, let's just taste through all the barrels, and you pick a barrel that that just, you know, piques your interest, that excites you.
Were these all Pinots?
All Pinots.
Okay.
He has a passion for Pinot. And so I'm not sure exactly how many barrels we tasted through, but he picked one that we had primarily used for blending in the past. We'd never made a single vineyard out of it, and it was called the Haas Vineyard. And it wasn't really the Haas Vineyard. It just happened to be farmed by a gentleman named Peter Haas, and it was in his backyard, and it was a two-acre kind of a hodgepodge vineyard. We'd bought it over the years from actually three different owners, and he was the most recent. And Josh chose that vineyard, and we then took this next wine that we're about to drink, the Farm Vineyard, and blended a little with that. And produced what is now the Find Your Light Pinot Noir from Halleck Vineyard.
Wow.
But what we're tasting now is the Farm Vineyard, which is a two-acre, now three-acre, actually, vineyard in Sebastopol. It's organic. And we took this vineyard from conventional to organic. And we were fortunate enough that it won the best of class in the entire San Francisco Chronicle wine competition. It was the top tier.
And that's over 5,000 entries.
7,200.
Hey, you're still a judge, Dan, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you guys do that.
Piece of
7,000 wines.
You're looking for the good stuff, that's all.
Wow. All right. Dan, talk about this Pinot.
Well, this wine is savory, which is different from some Pinot Noirs, which really lean more on more of the aromatics. Here's the aromatics, which are savory. There's a faint trace of wet earth here, but that's part of that Burgundian characteristic in the background. The front end is dark cherry with a little teeny bit of oak to support it. But it's not very much oak, because in the aftertaste you pick up none of the oak. And what's nice is that you know that this wine is going to be better in 2 years or 3 years, because this wine has this breadth of complexity, but with no sugar and no sweetness from any of the barrels. The barrels were carefully used just to give a grace note, nothing more. And this is really the balance of this wine. It's fabulous. 14 was a richer year than 15. I would die to try 15. This right now, I'm looking at this 14. I'm saying to myself, I didn't know this wine was going to be this good at this amount of time down the road. This is only a couple of years from your release date.
Mm-hmm.
Think
mm-hmm.
about where it was at the time it was released.
Well, that's why we held it back for so long.
It's a good wine. It's a beautiful wine.
HallickVineyard.com, HALLECK.
We got one more Pinot to go. This is I'm excited.
Ross, about events and stuff, you guys are so involved in the community and everything. So what kind of stuff does Hallick do besides having people over to your house to taste wine?
Well, we have a harvest party in the fall, which is kind of our biggest event. And we bring in a live entertainment, and we have an oyster bar, and we open up. And this speaks to Dan's comment earlier. We open up all of our older vintages, and we let those who attend have about an ounce pour of all of our wines from 2001 all the way to 2000, and last year was 2014. Also to Dan's point, so far so good. They're all showing beautifully, and we were able to actually sell, and this was not a flight of fancy. Our first vintage, our 2001 Halleck Vineyard, actually Tandem Halleck Vineyard, we sold a bottle of that for $2,500 that day, because
I think I bought that.
I think that was me.
So that puts a benchmark for us.
Yeah,
that puts a benchmark for us. And wow. we're chasing after Burgundy. We really think, not just us, but I think this region is chasing after Burgundy for some of the finest wines in the world. And I think that by establishing a price point that is commensurate with what Burgundy is selling for, makes a statement. And it's not like we're trying to take advantage of anybody or sell wines that are not valued. We like to think of our wines as a value proposition for the quality of wine that you get. This particular wine, we only had 9 bottles of, and he's a collector and wanted this in his collection, and that's what he offered.
So. And this is a good example of what collectors of fine wine will go to obtain the very best. Burgundy, there are about 4 levels of Burgundy in terms of price and quality, one of which is 100 points and not available. People give it 100 points, and then they tell you right after that, you can't have any. So that's Burgundy. California has yet to be there. When these wines are selling for $50 and $60 and $80 a bottle, they are true bargains because they represent the best achievement that California can do with Pinot Noir, and the best achievement that France can do with Pinot Noir is not available under any circumstances. No matter how much you pay, you can't get them. So here is a bargain.
What's the point in that?
Oh, that's the whole idea. This is a collector's game.
Yeah, okay.
And that's why these wines are so wonderful, because you can still get them. Yeah, maybe at $60. You think that's a lot of money? That's nothing compared to good quality Burgundy. This is a bargain. This truly is.
And, Ross, again, no retail outlets, no bottle barn, but a lot of great restaurants, and obviously at your house.
Yes.
Online.
Yes, exactly. Online and at our house.
I love that.
Now, the difference between this wine and the last wine is that this wine is much more succulent. It has a little bit more fruit pizzazz up front. There's not only is it dark cherry, but it's also light cherry, some red cherry components. It's got beautiful integration of all the flavors. It's still a very, very young wine. It needs about 5 more years. What's that? It's a 13? Still needs 5 years. But the main reason that I like this...
This is our estate grown. This is the one that you...
This is fabulous stuff.
Yeah.
This is truly... This is where Sebastopol really begins to show itself as the alternate example of Burgundy. This is Burgundy. This is where good quality Burgundy starts. And that would... If this were a Burgundy, it would cost you $250 for a bottle of wine like this. And what is your price on this?
$110.
See? There you go. It's half price. Yeah. Costs you a lot less than going to Burgundy and then being told you can't have any.
It's the best wine we've ever made. Oh, okay. Give us 2 bottles. No, can't have it. Off you go. No wine for you. Come back when you...
Goodbye.
That's weird. Any last thoughts, gentlemen?
I think if the world understood what Western Sonoma County is doing with Pinot Noir, they would sit up and take a lot more notice than they are. Right now, we know it right around here. But, boy, around the country, you mentioned Russian River Valley or Sonoma Coast, and their eyes still glaze over. They don't know what's going on. They haven't got a clue. You taste these wines, you'll know.
Interesting.
Well, I just as a counterpoint, we are represented in the finest restaurants in New York. So, you know, the Michelin 3 stars, you know, 11 Madison Park, Danielle's, we've been in Blue Hill, and those sommeliers, those young men primarily, and young women, they have their ears open, their eyes open, and they're looking west.
Yeah, well, it behooves them to do that. They need to do that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, 10 years from today, these wines will be spoken about in reverential terms. People will not quite understand where it came from. They'll say, "Gee, it happened overnight." No. It didn't happen overnight. We've been sitting with this stuff for several years, and we knew about it, but you weren't paying attention.
HallecVineyard.com, H-A-L-L-E-C-K. Ross Halleck, great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
I'll see you at your house soon. It'll be probably 4 in the morning. I'll just knock on the back door. And,
hey, I'm here. The Airstream will be open.
Yeah. I'll recognize your voice.
All right. Do we know what we're doing? Oh, next week you're gone. You're in Canada.
Yeah, I'm going to be up in Canada doing some tasting of British Columbia wines.
Oh, nice. So.
But we have Tom Simoneau. He's bringing the representative for Beringer Vineyards. They've got a brand new, Sterling Vineyards. And the Sterling has got a new a brand, apparently. I don't know anything about it, but Tom knows everything about it.
All right. Have a good time in Canada.
Thank you.